This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Somalia's leaders are locked in a power struggle over control of the government, and Zimbabweans fight cholera and political gridlock. For this week's Africa Update, our guide to the issues is Bill Fletcher. He's a senior scholar with the Institute for Policy Studies and former president of Trans-Africa Forum. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. Let's start with Somalia, East African nation, huge political crisis. Pirates. We did a special report on the pirate crews operating off the coast, and as it turns out, they just seized a tugboat that was operated by a French oil company. Now, Kenya is stepping up regional air patrols. That's one story, but I want you to focus on the politics within the country and between its neighbors. What's going on?
Well, what's going on is that Somalia remains trapped in the civil war. As well as a war with the Ethiopian invaders who intervene in the country, allegedly in the name of the transitional national government. So part of what we're seeing right now, Farai, is what I believe to be the collapse or the collapsing of the transitional national government. This whole furor with the president dismissing the prime minister, I actually think needs to be seen in the context of them losing. The Islamic or Islamist insurgents or rebels, people that have been associated in one way or another with the Union of Islamic Courts, are winning. They control most of the country now after having been defeated by the Ethiopian troops that invaded the country. And so I think that that's exactly what's going on. And in this context, you then have this piracy, but the piracy exists because there's no real national government.
So who are the players in this game outside of the region? Who is looking out for the interest of the Somali people?
That is the $64,000 question. I actually don't think that there are major players looking out for the Somali people. You have this horrendous situation where the transitional national government was mainly propped up by the Ethiopians and their U.S. backers. The Ethiopians and the U.S. clearly hoped that with the Ethiopian invasion that things were going to stabilize. But as I believe I said on this program after the invasion, that even though the Union of Islamic Courts were initially routed, the question was whether the Union of Islamic Courts was going to regroup as a protracted guerrilla war, and that's what it turned out to be. But the Union of Islamic Courts themselves are divided between those that seem to be interested in coming to some sort of national reconciliation, national peace, and those that are very hardline and have expressed no interest in any kind of talks with the transitional national government. Transitional national government seems to be mainly interested in holding on to its title while its troops are losing ground.
Now, this is a bit of a diversion, but this is some, you know, every now and then when you meet people, they say something that intrigues you. And we have been talking in the context of East Africa about, for example, terrorism, about Islamist terrorism. I gave a speech recently and someone was saying, look, you've got to stop talking about Islamic terrorism. I noticed you use the word Islamist. Is there a distinction for you? She said, it's just terrorism. Just call terrorism terrorism. And yet when you have a group that calls itself the Union of Islamic Courts and which has been responsible for brutality, it's kind of what's in a name.
Yeah.
So if I can expand for a moment, what do you think of that issue of the use of language and the realities of how religion plays into the conflict?
Oh, I think it's very important, Farai. I think that so Islamic as a term means of Islam, and Islamist, IST, refers to a political tendency, what's called political Islam. It refers to something that's essentially emerged over the last 15 years, 20 years, although its roots are in a conservative brand of Islam that was propagated in the early 20th century. So the distinction is very, very important. When one talks about Islamic, you're talking about something that is directly connected to Islam. Islamist is a political tendency. It's like talking about Christian fundamentalism. That doesn't speak to all Christians. That's a particular tendency that exists. And so I think that that distinction is very important. The thing about terrorism, though, I'd say, is this. As dogmatic as this may sound, terrorism is not a major problem in the continent of Africa. Civil wars, civil conflicts are a critically important problem. The Union of Islamic Courts is not, by and large, a terrorist organization. They may engage in certain acts of terrorism, as do the Ethiopian troops, as do the troops of the Transitional National Government. But it's not mainly a terrorist formation. This is a political war that's going on.
Well, there's so much to talk about here, but I want to at least touch on one more topic, and that is Zimbabwe. The UN says nearly 1,000 people have been killed by a cholera outbreak. But last week, President Robert Mugabe gave a nationally televised speech saying the outbreak was contained, and he accused the West of trying to use this as a political tool. He said, quote, "Now that there is no cholera, there is no cause for war." Now, where does war come into this? What was he referring to?
Well, it's actually gotten worse than that. These bizarre thoughts that seem to go through President Mugabe's head. He then went on to suggest that actually the epidemic was not cholera, but somehow the West was behind some sort of bacteriological warfare project or something so absurd. Clearly, there's a cholera epidemic, and there's been enough international confirmation of this to know that that's the case. When he's using this term war, he is both threatening his neighbors as in terms of what they should anticipate if they think about intervening in Zimbabwe, but he's also threatening the opposition within Zimbabwe. It's both of those things going on because, as you know, there's been an increase in this discussion about a military intervention in Zimbabwe that's being encouraged by some forces in Britain and the United States, which frankly I think would be a disaster and would not help the situation. But it may be something that some countries end up getting pushed into. And so I think that President Mugabe was sending out a warning signal to not think about it.
Of the nations that are coming up in the talk of whether or not there would be any kind of military action, Zimbabwe has accused Botswana of being part of that list. The Rwandan president certainly has come out and asked for President Mugabe of Zimbabwe to be held responsible. Who has leverage, you know, not military leverage, but who has moral leverage? Just quickly, very quickly.
The Southern African countries as a whole. There is no one country that President Mugabe will listen to. It has to be a regional pressure collectively applied.
All right, Bill, thank you.
Anytime. Thank you.
Bill Fletcher is a senior scholar with the Institute for Policy Studies and former president of TransAfrica Forum. He's the co-author of Solidarity Divided, The Crisis in Organized Labor and a New Path Towards Social Justice. And he joined us from our Washington, D.C. headquarters.